麻雀の謎はアホのすることならば。
Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's Mahjong Podcast. How's it going?
Good.
Who are you?
I'm Jen.
How's it going, Jen?
Good. How are you
still
doing?
Going good from the last 3 seconds when I asked you? This is Garth.
It hasn't changed yet.
Jen and Garth, your ReachMahjong.com podcasters. We like to talk about Mahjong every month here on our podcast. You can find us on the web at ReachMahjong.com. That's Reach spelled R-E-A-C-H, Mahjong.com. Of course, if you have this, you probably got it through the website anyway, so you know exactly where it is. But
you might have searched it for it on iTunes.
That's a good point.
Because
yes.
iTunes works now.
Wow.
It didn't work for like a couple months.
There's a bonus and a half.
It kind of worked, but not like totally worked.
No.
And I fixed it, so now 100%.
Wow, you fixed iTunes?
Yes.
Holy cow.
I fixed our link on iTunes.
Right.
That was a good one.
So let's see, how has your Mahjong been lately?
Not too bad. I was able to overcome you in our scores for Mahjong Fight Club. That was my biggest accomplishment of the last 6 months, though, probably.
There's another big crapper in my list of Mahjong non-accomplishments.
I got 9.9 million, and Garth only got 9.6 million in the positive.
Oh, God, that's so annoying, because, like, right at the end of my last session, too, I had 1.5 million or something, and I had two straight losing games, which I lost a whole bunch on. And annoying. Lots of annoyingness for me, actually. We had today's tournament, which we're going to talk about later. And then, League also, another big crapper. And then playing in the Mahjong parlors lately, too, I've just been sucking.
Really?
Have you been playing in Mahjong parlors at all lately?
No, I've been working in Mahjong parlors.
Working?
Yes.
What's that been like?
It's hard.
Hard?
It's really hard to keep track of all of the money and stuff, especially when there's a lot of tables going.
Oh, I thought you were going
to
say you've been winning so much that it's just like, I don't know what to do with all this money.
Yeah, that would be such a problem.
Yeah.
Luckily, I only have the problem of trying to keep track of the rakes from each table.
I see.
And putting them in the system and then making sure all the numbers add up. And it's really hard when, you know, there's like six tables going, so you have a different rake coming in every 5-10 minutes. And then
there are two different rates too, also, right? So
The
rakes would be different for each rake, right?
Yeah.
Well, so I guess that could be fairly cumbersome.
Yeah, and then when you have, like, a bunch of other, you know, sets that are there, and they're ordering food and stuff, because you pay for the food, even if you order it from outside,
and then
you put it on their check.
Oh, right.
So they just pay for it later, so the money comes out of the register for there and stuff. So it's really hard to keep track of all the money.
That is a lot of stuff to keep track of.
Yeah, but it's good practice. Hopefully I'll be opening a Mahjong parlor someday. So
that sounds exciting. how many tables does that Mahjong parlor have?
A bunch.
That seems pretty exciting. All right. Well, that's us. A little introduction from us. Let's come back after a short break, and we will talk about this month's League Sen and other Mahjong news.
Okay.
I don't know, dude. I think everybody's all jealous and shit, because I'm like the lead singer of the band, dude. And I think everybody's got a fucking problem with me, dude. And they need to take it up with me after the show. Because these chicks don't even...
You're listening to the Reach Mahjong podcast, exclusively at ReachMahjong.com. Join the Japan Professional Mahjong League's Jen Barr and Garth Nelson to get all of your Mahjong news, strategy, professional interviews, weekly meetups, and more at ReachMahjong.com.
But they're all on me like they want to hold hands. Because once I blow, they know that I'll be the
Okay, we're back, and I said I was going to talk about League Sen, which actually some of you might not really know what that means if you don't speak Japanese. That's what we call it in Japanese, but actually League Sen just means sort of like League Battle. So this is our wrap-up of what happened in League Battles this month. Let's skip right over A1, because there's nothing interesting there. Don't know anybody in that league. jumping down to A2. Ito Yuko is coming on strong. He's got 165 in second place, and he's really distanced himself from the next person down, Sawazaki. So he's looking pretty good to move up to A1 at the end of this season. At least there are still three sessions to go, but looking pretty solid. And farther down in eighth place, Takizawa had kind of a rough time of it last time. I happened to watch his games, and I think we wrote an article about it.
Yeah.
He had a rough day. I mean, it was... I watched three of his games. I think you watched one of his games. He just got nothing the whole time.
Yeah, he just couldn't do anything. At the first game, I couldn't watch him because I was at the table watching. I had to stand behind Hiro Yamada because... Taki has such a following.
Oh, right. Everybody likes to watch Taki.
Yeah.
When I got over there, man, like, his starting tiles were just crappy starting tiles, crappy starting tiles, crappy starting tiles. One time, he started with three lucky dragons, and then, like, seriously, three or four draws into it, Hiro leeched, and then, he couldn't do anything again. And then, once again, it was crappy starting tiles, crappy starting tiles, crappy starting tiles. It was like, man, what a pisser. So, Taki got a minus 41 to drop himself down after his nice showing the month before. So he's almost back down to zero. But that still only puts him in eighth place out of 16. So, he's still looking pretty good for holding on to his spot in A2. On to B1. We talked a little bit about this really interesting matchup we were looking forward to last month. Sasaki, Iwai, Sarukawa, and Kondo, our buddy Kondo.
Yeah.
And actually, well, Sarukawa's a buddy too. I don't know about those other two guys. Sasaki did pretty well. He finished with a plus 13.9, moves him up to positive 12.4, which puts him in sixth place for B1. Only two people move up out of B1 into A2 next season. So it's pretty tough to get into that group that's moving up. Currently, the number two player has 50 points, so if Sasaki wants to move into that area, he's got a little bit of work ahead of him. Also at that table, like I said, was Sarukawa. He went up a little bit here, and then down a little bit there, and then up a little bit here, and by the end of the day, he finished at just about zero, 1.7. But that puts him in 12th place in B1, And also, Kondo at the same table had a little bit harder time. Minus 33 to put him at minus 42, which puts him in 15th place, which means both of them are in danger of moving down to B2. Six people, and we were just talking about this. It seems like a lot of people are moving down from certain leagues these days. Six people moving down from B1 and B2 into the league below.
And there's not that many people in there to begin with.
Right, there's only 16 people. And two people from each league move up. Actually, four people from B2 move up. So more than half of B2 is moving out of B2 next season. It's interesting. Like, the character of these leagues really changes from one season to the next. Once you get up into the A leagues, it takes a lot longer for the faces to change in there. But in the B leagues, half the league moves at the end of each season. The top couple are moving up, and then the bottom like third are moving down. Speaking of moving down to B2, in B2. Nikaido Rumi is also having a rough time. She had a minus 20 to drop down to 13th place, and new to B2, the winner of last season's special league, Ogawa. I don't know his first name there, but Ogawa had an even bigger minus day to put himself in 15th. So he did win the. The special league to get into B2, but then, maybe it was still a little bit above his head.
That's something that Kono was saying today. Something about, not about him, but just, the people will move up. Because I think Shintaro Kamimura, he was asking Kono if even after we get a new D3, if the special league is going to have the same rewards as moving up to B2. It's like, it's, you know, it's pretty silly that they can go all the way from D3 to B2. And
well, they wouldn't be able to go from D3, they'd have to go through
D2. Yeah. Well, if they win at something else, they could perceivably go from D3.
There are
if
other ways to get into Tokyo League?
Yeah, if you make it to the finals league at some tournament or something.
I did not know that.
But and even from D2, he thought it was silly they could go all the way up to B2, and Kono's like, no, it's fine, because, you know, if they're really weak, they're going to move down anyway, so it doesn't matter if they move up to B2 for, you know, just once. Who cares?
Yeah, and besides that, you'd think that if they manage to win the special tournament, I mean, or the special league, they must have some sort of strength, right? They can't just be totally weak. It can't have been a total fluke after 8 sessions that they managed to win, you know, win the whole league. So, you know, I'm not saying that, what's his name? Ogawa doesn't belong there, because, you know, he did win the tournament, but maybe he has a little bit of practice at him to maintain his right to stay in B2. He might be dropping down to C1 at the end of next season. Speaking of C1, one of the people we like to follow, Kurosawa Saki, she had kind of a non-eventful day, -6.6, and keeps her right smack dab in the middle of the field for C1, 16th place out of 32. But one of the other names we like to follow at the very top of C2, just like she was last month, Miyauchi Kozue. She is killing it.
Yeah, she could not lose a single hand last time.
Yeah, and you know, I had the privilege of watching her at our you know, a study session, Sparta study session on Thursday, and there too, she's just going for it all the time. And Moriyama was standing behind her and saying, "Oh, you're so strong, you're so strong." And they were kind of joking because, you know, most people in the situation she was in there would have given up. You know, like Kojima Sensei had beached. Mm-hmm. He was the dealer. She was still a good 2 tiles away from ready, but she had already stolen something. And so it was just like, well, you know what, I'm just going for it. And she's just going for it. And people are like, yeah, you know, that's impressive, because she didn't throw it. And then sure enough, later, she, you know, right after that, she draws like a really big, you know, I think it was a 2,000, 4,000 point hand.
Nice.
And then she, you know, she just starts killing everybody. So she is on it. She's having a great run. She had +45 last, this month to move her up to 133, which keeps her well in the lead for, C2. A little bit farther down there in 6th place is our buddy Kamimura, we were just talking about. He said he would have had a lot larger plus, but he had a 4 concealed triples hand that he decided to go for it with, and threw the lucky dragon, and sure enough, it was somebody's big winner. So he ended up with only a +0.5, which leaves him in 6th place for C2. Let's see, no names of note, at least for last month in C3. In D1, yours truly continuing to stink it up, trying to work my way back down to... I just want to keep Jen company. You know, she seems lonely down there in D2.
I am lonely. Hurry up and get your ass down here.
Man, I had a -66. It's one of those sessions where, you know, just everything is wrong. Like, first thing that happens is somebody gets... a dealer draws 4,000 points all, and, you know, so I think, okay, this game I'm not going to be able to do anything. Wait till the next game, and sure enough, next first hand the dealer draws another 4,000 points all. It's just like, oh, come on, like, am I ever going to get to play this game? So that was pretty much the way it went for me the whole time, actually. Just everybody drawing big hands, and I never had a chance to play. I didn't really throw much, but I didn't get to play. Everybody kept drawing big hands. So that's me down at the bottom of D2 or D1, and the only thing the only person keeping me company down there is our buddy Linka, who actually is keeping me company by not showing up. we both be keeping you company down in D1 next season. Speaking of D2, how did your D2 session go?
Well, we also wrote an article about this that's going to come out pretty soon, but
okay.
I did really good until the second to last hand of the day. And I got to end up with a -17 for the last game. My total was -21 for the day, so, I mean, I was only down like 4 points before that, so I wasn't really doing bad at all. But, God, I got so frustrated and I just tilted and, you know, played badly. I just made a bad move and lost me the game.
What to do when you get on tilt?
I blame you, by the way, for me going on tilt.
Yes, that's probably a good place for it.
I never tilted till I like started watching you get pissed off. You looked so cool.
It's actually not that cool.
Yeah,
I don't think it impresses anybody. Least of all the people you're playing with. They really seem to think you're kind of an ass. Well, at least I think people think I'm kind of an ass. And I think they may be kind of right, actually. I'd say this last time I was really awful. Like when I lost, I started paying paying with my my chipsticks, one stick at a time. Like one hand taking one stick out at a time. And I started slamming the tiles down on the table every time I threw them. Just like every time, whack! That'll show them. And you know what? It didn't. They just kept winning. So I think I have to try a new asshole approach next month, or maybe just stop being an asshole. I don't know. It's not working out so well for me. So let's see. That's the league wrap up. Let's see other news you had.
News. Let's go into Mahjong news. And for Mahjong news, we go to mahjongnews.com, our friend Martin Rep's website. So make sure you check that out. On there, we found out that the very first ever Russian Mahjong tournament, the Russian Championship, happened, and apparently didn't go as well as they expected, but you know what? I guess, some players left because they thought they were playing different rules, or they just wanted to play different rules. I'm not really quite sure from the wording what that meant, but one player got lost, because I guess Moscow isn't very...
It is hard to find your way around there.
It's a tourist-friendly place.
If you can't speak Russian and you don't really know the area, you can get lost pretty easily.
Yeah, so they actually asked the EMA to remove this tournament from their MERS ranking, but they decided not to do that. And I think, I don't know how to say the president, the Mahjong Russia president's name, Mark...
Chizhenok.
Sorry, Mark. But, you know what, good job for getting out there and trying to make a tournament. It's not easy. And we learned that with the Reach tournament this year. And you know what? Good job for getting out there.
There's a first year, and then the next year you do it, you get a little better, and,
So
keep at it.
And Russia, I guess there wasn't a lot of experience with Mahjong tournaments. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that will improve with time, too. So they had their first tournament, and that was, it went, and good for them. Also, I took a look at Tom Sloper's website, sloperama.com, and I noticed that there was an article about this old game. He does weekly articles, of course, his strategy articles, so you can go up there. It's a column that you can read every week. That's why I said weekly. And sorry. He had this cool little video game that he was playing that was this really old Mahjong console.
Man, it looks like the old, handheld football game.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
It's called Perfect Mahjong, and it's a funny little story, so you should get on and read that on Tom's website.
Wow,
and
looks
there's
a
some
lot
pictures
like...
of me, too, on his website.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like the controller that I used to have for my Mahjong software on PlayStation. Very similar.
Wow.
It's kind of cool.
That's interesting. You had to have, a whole nother controller for it.
Oh, yeah. It's 'cause if you want to play against somebody, then you have to have two controllers so that, I can't see your tiles, right?
Right. Oh, I see. That makes sense. Okay, so also we have last week's meetup. Not last week's, but last time's meetup, because we had the podcast right before the meetup last time. And the winner was Osamu with 43,000 points, and second place was Vortex with 32,000. So we're starting to get some players that we see at the top, consistently. So I get on run and practice, and also at the final table this time were Clacker and Bertsy.
Very nice.
And we have another tournament to report on next time. Also, finally, Mahjong Super Cup news. The Super Cup is happening in December. And ReachMahjong.com is sending a team, so we're going to be there and playing. We have the prize structure for that. That's at the Grand Waldo in Macau. First place is $330,000. Second place is $100,000. Third place, $50,000. And fourth place, a dinky little $20,000. So you really want to win.
Yeah, sure do. Yes, you were mentioning this before. The prize structure is really top heavy.
Yeah, it's top heavy. 5th through 16th gets $3,000, and 17th, up to however many they decide to pay, will get $1,500 US dollars.
Which is basically getting the entry back.
Yeah, it's exactly getting the entry back. So we're going to start out with. We're going to start out with. For the best two from each table will advance to the second round from the first round, and from this on the round two, the best, how many is that? The best two are going to advance to round three, and then in round three, the best person from each table, so the top score from each table, is going to move on to round four.
Wow, it gets a lot harder to move on.
Yeah, so it gets harder. It's a, we call it like a tournament structure in Japanese mahjong, so it's, yeah, it's... It should be a fun tournament. They're using the Taiwanese rules, 16 tile rules, and we'll be covering it extensively on the website and also podcasting from the site. So
definitely looking forward to that, although I'm definitely looking forward to practicing a little more before we head out to the tournament.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's the news and league wrap-up. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back at you with some strategy talk.
ReachMahjong.com is the number one source for Mahjong strategy discussion and Mahjong news from Asia. Visit our site to find out how you can use ReachMahjong.com to reach Mahjong players and professionals all over the world. We can even report live from your event. For more information, visit ReachMahjong.com or email advertise@ReachMahjong.com to see how you can buy time and space with Reach.
Okay, we're back. I think. We're back?
Yes, we're back.
and we are talking about strategy now. Strategy as it relates to our tournament that we just played in today. Today was the first day, at least for the pros, of the King Cup. Japan King Cup or whatever.
Yeah, I usually call it the OUI tournament because it's
OUI. OUI? Whenever I see that, it always reminds me of that magazine for men from America.
No.
No, it's there's a Wii magazine. It's not kind of like Playboy. Anyway,
sorry,
European,
illiterate gen.
Right. Anyway, today was the first day of that tournament for us. The amateurs had their first day last month. And I guess some of them were there today. The ones that qualified of that were in our qualifying tournament today. What was your strategy going into this tournament? Did you have like a game plan? Did you kind of thought out how you wanted to play? Or?
I thought that I would just have to get a positive score each game, pretty much. So that was my goal, and that worked for the first three games. And then in the fourth game, I got a small negative, and I needed to get first place at the end, and I didn't. It's very, very, very close to getting first place at the end.
I don't know. When I was thinking about how I was going to play for this tournament, I've had some relative success in the last couple few tournaments that I've played. And, you know, I did pretty well at the World Series of Mahjong. I did fairly well at the Rookie Cup. I played in the Kingdai Mahjong tournament, Sai Kyoisen. And you know, I took second place in my heat there. So you know, I've had some fairly good tournament results lately. And when I was going into these tournaments, I kind of had a game plan. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to make up a game plan again this time and think it out. And so my game plan was that lately, I think I've been, you know, really attacking player, and that hasn't been working out so much in the Mahjong probably. So this time I was going to be a lot more cautious. And man, did that not work out.
Oh, really?
First couple games, first game I was, I finished, I think, minus 15, and the next game I was, like, minus 20. So, blam, I'm down minus 35 points. And that's because I was trying to play well. I mean, I was really concentrating. I was really watching what everybody else did, you know, kind of trying to make sure like I wasn't making any big mistakes and, you know, what happened. But yeah, everybody kept drawing out on me. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, third game, I was just like, why am I bothering to play well when that doesn't, you know, why do I try to play well when it doesn't do anything for me? Oh, and, you know, I mean, example, first hand of the second game, I had two lucky dragons, and I was, like, two tiles away from ready after, say, maybe three draws. Fourth draw, the dealer reaches. He ends up drawing three of bamboos to his 1-2 of bamboos, so he doesn't have that good a weight, but he had three colored runs, and he drew it. So that's 3,900 points from everybody. Great start. Next, I win 1,300 points. Next, you know, guy steals my dealer turn with a 1,000-point hand. Next hand, I start off two tiles away from 13 orphans. Holy cow, what a start. You know, it's a limit hand. Blam, I'm right there. And then I'm one tile away from ready after three draws. And then on the fourth draw, the last white dragon comes out. Oh my god. How much fun is playing Mahjong today, you know? God, it just sucks. After the fourth draw, my hand is already dead. I have absolutely nothing I can do. So that was my first two games. You know, I kept trying to play well. I had a couple other big hands, like, you know, pure outside hand and three colored runs. And once again, couldn't get it. Anyway, third game, I decided to stop playing well. Just go for it every single time. And I couldn't stop winning. It was ridiculous. And, you know, I have to say lately, actually not even lately, but I don't know, whenever I try to play well, whenever I think, okay, now I'm going to play well, now I'm going to do really good stuff, it never seems to work out. And when I just start going, you know, going like crazy, like just attack, it works better. Which is funny because, you know, I just said that attacking has not been working so well for me lately. But, I don't know, maybe part of my problem is that I've just been attacking while trying to play well, whereas you know, today when I decided to start attacking, I just wasn't bothering at all. I wasn't looking at anybody else's hands, I wasn't looking at the board, I was just like, alright, I'm just looking at my hand, and if I get to ready, I'm reaching. I don't care. And so, you know, that's, I changed my strategy mid-game, and I was wondering, do you ever, like, are you ever in a tournament, and you find, like, you think your strategy's not working, do you decide to change it up all, or how do you decide to change it up, if you do decide to change it up?
I think it's good to decide to change it up if something's not working, you know, and you should probably fix something, so it's definitely good to change it up.
Do you do that mid-tournament sometimes? Change your style of play?
I'm not sure if I have a style. I like to think that I could, you know, change gears and stuff, but I'm not sure if I have a plan. Maybe that's my problem.
Suddenly, your outlook on your play seems so grim.
Well, I don't know, my play, I mean, today I did pretty good. I was doing better than you for the first three games, and even in the last game, if I had gotten first place, then I would have had a good chance of staying.
Uh-huh.
And I was only 1,000 points away from first place, and it was one continuance, Ipomba, so if I won, I'd get 1,300.
Uh-huh.
So I'd be first place for sure.
Right.
And I would have remained. I would have made it. And I was ready in the very last hand with, you know, enough points to move on, and then
uh-huh.
some. And some extra buffer points to make sure that I moved on.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the dealer reached, and I really don't think there's anything I could do. I was ready. I had to just, you know, try and win.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't, so...
Huh. So you pretty much stuck to your game plan for today, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I was just trying to get a positive score, and...
Uh-huh. Well, and it nearly worked for you, so it's not like... I guess you didn't really need to abandon your game plan, because it was actually... It seemed to be doing all right. For me, my first two games were so awful that I felt like, all right, I gotta change gears, or today is just going to be nothing anyway.
No, I think that's a good strategy. I think that's important. It's a good strategy, and I think that's good. Way to go.
All right. Well, that's I guess that's today's talk then. You know, when you're in the middle of the game, I guess you have to try to decide, all right, is my current strategy working out for me, or do I need to go with something new and try to pick out that new strategy? All right, that's today's strategy talk. Just about wraps us up, but let's take another break, and we'll be back with our conclusion.
This is Mahjong.
Do you need high-quality Mahjong tiles? Do you have the tiles ready but just need the scoring sticks? Maybe you want to reach Mahjong.com keychain or t-shirt. You can get all this and more at MahjongMart.com. If you're short on cash at the moment, win gift certificates to our weekly meetups on JPML's Run 2. For more information, visit ReachMahjong.com or MahjongMart.com.
Okay, we're back. And let's wrap it up for the podcast this time. What have we got over here?
We got an email! Yay!
Ah, yes! Let's start a little mail section.
It was sent to jen@reachmahjong.com and also to garth@reachmahjong.com. Where Garth claims you can reach him. But if you have tried to reach him at that email address, since we started the podcast, there's a good chance that it has not yet reached him.
All right, I promise I will check my mail this week.
So Adam says, you guys are great. I really enjoy the podcast. I haven't come to Japan in a couple years, but I always enjoy hearing what's happening in the Mahjong world. The last podcast was funny. I think you guys have been in Japan too long. He says, bottakuri is rip-off in English. Reminds me of when I was in school over there. My English was suffering pretty bad. So apparently we have horrible English.
Yes, well, you forget a little bit. And then, like, you know, the Japanese word sort of takes over in your mind. And you, for some reason, the word rip-off just doesn't come to mind.
So he said...
I don't know why.
It's a good thing that he knew what that meant.
Yes, thank you.
Says, about atozuke, what about add-on point? Which we'll get to in a second.
Yes.
He says, and if you ever need a contact in California, I'm your man. I've been trying to spread Reach Mahjong over here for a while now. Keep it up. From Adam.
Oh, thank you, Adam. Yeah.
And thank you, Adam.
If anybody's over there, we've got to try to find Adam. Set up a game or something.
Have you met Tom, Adam? You should check out Tom's website.
He's in LA down there, too, yeah.
Yeah, he's in LA. And we go to California from time to time, so we'll be sure to look you up and have a rendezvous.
Yes.
So what he said about the atozuke?
Yes.
We also got a suggestion from Bjorn to use backdoor win, which was a comment on our last podcast that I accidentally deleted.
Oops.
Sorry.
Whoops.
There's a lot of spam comments, and sometimes the regular ones get deleted with the spam
that
ones.
That is a problem.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. We're getting a new site pretty soon, I hope, so at that time it will be fixed.
No more spam.
Anyway, I really like the backdoor win idea.
Yeah, I like that because, like I think he pointed out too, it relates to the same idea that in poker, like if you have you need the turn and the river to make your straight or your flush. It's a backdoor flush draw or a backdoor straight draw. Same thing here. Like you need special cards to win your hand. It's going backdoor. It's not going through the front door. So a great idea, Bjorn. I think we might stick that into our glossary, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
Let's
do it.
Very nice.
And
yes, it's, thank you, Adam, for the mail. Keep those mails coming. We, especially Jen, and now that I've been reprimanded, me too, we'll be checking our mails. That's garthe@reachmahjong.com. And your address is?
Jen, JENN@reachmahjong.com.
Thank you very much for listening, and we will come back out at you in another month. Cause we keep this naked. We keep this naked. We keep this naked. We keep this naked. Naked, naked, naked. The whole phenomena, we won't keep on and on. There's no need to hold your nose, cause it's palms snake like a rock. Big boot at fuck, toe jam fuck.
under all funk like a headlock and a skunk. Reeking like disease, athlete's feet. The stench didn't come till after this beat. Smelling like draws, no reason, no pause. Put your hands up on the speaker, get smelly as paws. You knew we was coming before we entered the door, cause you could smell the rhyme when we was walking down the hall. We bring the funk worse than a wet dog. Thinking like fat ladies shitting out logs. We dropping up shit and keep them toilets clogged. The people jumping like them bullfrogs. The first one that smells it ain't the one who built it. Black eyed peas keep the scent flying like Delta. Bumpy like onions, you crying? Girl, you ain't lying.
If it smells like funk, it must be us, the funk, 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 funk.